Welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. Broadcasting is always on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRaglia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I'm Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College. And as always, we are your guiding light.
Guiding light. We are your guiding lights. Yes, we are. And we're always joined by the illustrious
producer.
Producer. Shecky Feldstein over to my right and your left, Chris.
Yes.
Guys just grasping for straws over there. You can't find those words.
Wasn't guiding like a soap opera?
Guiding light?
Yeah. No, I thought it was those religious guys that come. Wasn't that like one of those little envelopes, like lights? Those little packages that about Christ and stuff? The guiding light.
Could be, maybe.
Was that the Watchtower?
Maybe that was Watchtower, yeah. I'm not really too sure. You know what? I'm not a very religious kind of guy, so I can tell. I'm not up on that stuff at all.
Yeah.
But listen, what we are up on is comic books.
Yes, you have now entered the church of comic books.
Take me to church.
I get a witness?
Listen, we are here to talk about comic books every week. We are here to champion the local comic book shop. And Walt, as always, is here with myself. And we are going to talk to your ear off about comic
talk
books.
Talk to my ear off,
talk
Chris.
Talk to my ear off. Talk my ear off. Talk your ear off.
You always wear the cunning linguist, Chris.
Oh, boy. All right. Listen, you know, you're a great guy, Walt. That's all I got to say. Great individual. Upstanding individual.
I'm up for citizening of the year.
Yeah, you're up for something anyways. Listen, we are here to talk about comic books, and as always, we have to talk about new this week. For those of you who are our new listeners, we are here on 93.3 CFMU.
And we have a lot of them because we get referrals.
Yes, we do. We have referrals?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
You should listen to these guys. They're like a train wreck.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's about right. Listen, we're here to talk about comics. We're going to talk about new comics that are coming out on a newsstand.
Hey, Chris,
this week.
Are we going to talk about comics?
You know, here I am trying to just motor the show along here. You just keep on pulling me back in. You're like the mafia.
He's pulling me back in.
Yeah, yeah. He's bringing me down. Oh. Listen, we're here to talk about comics, in case I wasn't too sure. All new Captain America.
No. Let's get a sponsor for talking about comics. Somebody has to pay for the airtime here.
I'm just so excited.
I was so pained that we would never get to talk about comics. I just wanted to let him go.
But he was telling people that we're going to talk about comics, and that was the important thing.
Well, just so that everyone's aware, before we start talking about comics, New This Week is brought to you by Snowballs, because when the plow blocks you in for the third time that day, you'll need something to throw.
Yeah.
It's very true.
Yeah.
Can I talk about comics now?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Every week, we like to talk about new this week on the newsstands. And, of course, today is no different from any other day. And I do want to talk about Captain America, all new Captain America, Fear Him, number one. And this is, of course, the Falcon taking over the Captain America role. It's a great-looking book.
All right. Check that out. Captain America, Fear Him.
That's right.
Number one hits your new this week stands at your local comic book shop.
That's for sure. Yes. All right. Listen. Next up on the hit parade, we've got Escape from New York number 3. Now, this is you're a fan of Snake Plissken and the John Carpenter movie.
Snake.
Yeah, do you remember the old Snake John with Kurt Russell?
Kurt Russell. I remember I enjoyed the movie.
Yeah. Adrienne Barbeau was in the original one.
Oh, we used to call her Adrienne Barbots.
Yeah, well, she had a couple of, you know, Barbots.
Barbots,
sure.
Yeah. This was a great movie, and it's weird, though, that the property to an 80s movie would, you know what I mean?
It's weird. I agree. It is weird.
I guess it follows a little bit of that either the like the Judge Dredd or like the Mad Max, where it's like
it was kind of like a Mad Max,
a little futuristic and desolate, and maybe because Mad Max is coming back, it's a little relative.
Like that. Escape from New York's number 3 at your local comic book shop today. Check that out.
All right, listen. Next up on the Hit Parade, we've got Superman in Action Comics number 39. This is, of course, by Greg Pak and Scott Collins. And this is a, you know, it's a great looking book if you're into Superman. He's sporting his new costume, which we're going to talk about in a minute.
Now, that I know you were talking to me before the show about this. This is part of the Harley Quinn
month. That's right. Harley Quinn month. So she appears on a number of different covers.
Detective she's also and appearing on Green Detective. Lantern.
Hold, yeah, I'm not quite there yet. Hold on a second.
Oh, man. Russian.
Jeez, you're rushing
Don't
me
here. Crowd me.
I know. It's funny because on Detective, she has written Batgirl on her chest. But, of course, she's holding a baseball bat. Mm. And
that's cute.
Isn't that cute? Yeah. And, of course, Green Lantern number 39 as well. She appears with Hal Jordan or whoever the person is playing Green Lantern, and starring role of Green Lantern.
So hold on, Chris. Yeah. So number 39 of right now, you've given me Detective, Action, and Green Lantern.
Yeah,
And they all have their regular covers, but then they all have their Harley Quinn covers.
Exactly, yes.
So they're like parallel covers.
Well, you know, I mean, we say this all the time, and it's not right. Maybe it's wrong. Maybe it's right. I don't know which one it is. But,
you know, I used to be indecisive, but now I'm not so sure.
Yeah. So, like, cash grab. Like, hey, who's the most popular character now in DC?
Batman.
Other than Batman.
I thought you were asking me that.
And so let's put her on the cover. Let's put her on the cover of everything.
Well, okay, but you know what?
Didn't Marvel do that with Deadpool?
Like, that's what I'm saying, though. Like,
but you know what? Last week, we had Harley. You know what? Don't get uppity with me, all right?
Let's just say it.
Last week, we had Harley Quinn, and it was like a Valentine's kind of thing going on because they had an alternate cover where Batman and Harley were on the same cover, and then they had the opposite kind of Batman and Harley on the same cover.
Right. Bizarro Batman.
Bizarro kind of thing, yeah.
Hey.
You know what? What?
Hey, just while we got you about Halloween, what's the thing called
Valentine's
this week?
Day?
Valentine's Day?
Yeah, it's in 2 weeks.
Next week's show is the Valentine's Day show.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
So, listenership, do not miss that show because our annual...
Are you going to propose to me?
No, but our annual Valentine's Day poem off...
Did you say Valentine's as if like time, like on a clock?
It's old-timey.
Did I say it wrong?
Probably.
The I's might be replaced with Y's. And
well, this
the
is the show where Shecky Feldstein, Chris Owen, and myself, we write Valentine's poems.
and we read them. If I remember correctly, Chris actually copped out and got his students to write his for him last year.
He added some students.
Yeah, I replaced some of the names with Chris instead of, you know, John. And
yeah.
Like
he just, or just, Rock.
Rock. Yeah.
He just corrected the grammatical errors so that they were readable.
That's right. That is so true.
So you don't want to miss next week's show is the point.
No, we are going to have poems from the three of us.
Yes.
Yes.
All right,
are you going to have a haiku?
Isn't that Japanese porn? I don't want to go near that stuff, man. I'm telling you.
Listen, next up we've got Thanos versus Hulk, number 1. Now, you're a fan of Thanos.
Sure am.
And Jim Starlin is doing the writing and the penciling on this.
I love Jim Starlin.
He's an old-timey Marvel guy, cosmic guy.
Bronze Age god.
And he also helped on the Marvel Avengers movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got a lot of cosmic kind of things going on. Thanos versus Hulk number 1 on your local comic book shop.
Hey, Thanos versus Hulk number 1 on your local comic book shop.
On your local comic, not at your local, but on your. Next one we got here is, now we didn't talk about this one before, but I thought this was kind of interesting. We have the Unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
Hey ho.
And this is just a fun book. It's got Galactus. And
Squirrel Girl, hold on, don't tell me.
Yes.
Because I know I'll get this right.
Yeah, you can try.
Squirrel Girl is the one from SpongeBob.
No.
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 Squirrel Girl is the one from, help me out.
From Marvel Comics.
Marvel Comics.
Yeah, and she's Squirrel Girl.
I got it. West Coast Avengers.
Right.
Thank you.
Well, yes.
Okay.
Not really West Coast, but they tried to do the
Great Lakes Avengers. That's
right.
I'm sorry. It came to me. I'm sorry.
That's okay. So
it's been a while.
There was a time when they tried to make the Great Lakes Avengers, and uh-huh. Squirrel Girl was one of them. She has the ability to talk to squirrels.
Wow.
Yes.
Wait. That's an ability?
Well,
if you're in Cleveland, it's important.
What kind of abilities do you have? Can you talk to squirrels?
You know, I can do more than be this girl who's just out chasing nuts, okay?
Chasing nuts.
Chasing nuts.
Nice.
I think I saw that movie last night.
In the confines of the boudoir?
The unbeatable squirrel girl number two is at your local comic
book shop. Oh, squirrel
girl
is beatable, all right. Don't you worry.
Ooh. I don't get it.
When you're chasing nuts.
All right.
Listen, next up we've got Spawn number 250.
250?
Okay, this is a big book.
Celebrate good times.
This is
come
a big
on.
Book.
Doesn't look
so
that heavy,
we talked
Chris.
Last week a little bit about Todd McFarlane. I think we did, didn't we? I remember.
No.
Oh, I thought we did.
Okay.
Todd McFarlane has been...
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, I think we did, actually. Yeah. He wouldn't work for any other company anymore.
Oh, right. Yeah, we did.
Oh, yeah, that Todd
McFarlane. Oh, that Todd
Todd McFarlane.
Talking about his brother.
So, you know what? So, Todd McFarlane, he wrote issue number 250. I'm just shocked it's gone this far. Like, I don't think that anybody, back in 1990, when Image first came out, I don't think anybody ever would have thought that Spawn would still be around. And here it is, 250 issues
issue
later.
Number 250.
Yeah.
Now, I think there might be 250 variant covers to this. Or something
probably,
like five
probably.
Or six.
There's at least five or six.
Yeah. So, hey, kudos to Image. Kudos to Spawn. Kudos to, what's the guy's name that did this again?
Todd McFarlane.
Todd McFarlane, thank you. Yeah. And for reaching 250.
Yeah, good on you.
And I hope Spawn has 250 more.
Yeah, let's hope so. We always want to have good, positive things to say about comic books.
Check about Spawn number 250 at
like
your local comic book shop.
That was like the driest like honorary award speech that was ever given. Well, and we'll be looking forward to another 250 more.
Listen, if there's nothing else Chris and I do is we champion the local comic book shop.
Yeah, of all the comics I've
and
ever...
I don't know of any better motivating speech to get people in to buy this 250 than the one I just delivered. That's all.
You know what? Of all the comics I've ever read, this Spawn number 250 is perhaps the most recent.
Nice.
But we're going to change all that,
we're
going to
change all that. Yeah. Lobo, number 5 from DC Comics has come out. Now, this isn't your average Lobo. Now, we talked about this
before.
It's
not your average Lobo there, Shaq.
No.
Lobo.
No.
Your average Lobo, who's he? This is something special right
Some
here.
Joe standing on the corner.
Yeah.
You know?
Yo, Lobo.
There are a lot of people that are big Lobo fans from the original Lobo from years ago. This is a new and improved Lobo.
That's the dog, right?
No.
That's Hobo. So I got it all wrong.
Littlest Hobo.
I don't even...
Hey, littlest Hobo.
Is this your Littlest Lobo?
I think they should have Littlest Lobo. I think
littlest
that would be
Lobo.
A good comic.
Yeah.
Where he gets shrunk down to like a minuscule size. I mean, it'd be fun.
Let's not talk about shrinking down.
Oh, yeah. Hit a little too close to home there.
Lobo number 5 is available at your local comic
shop. All right. Listen, then we have Hulk number 11. And this is we've got She-Hulk, we've got Doc Green versus the Daughter of Destruction.
Oh, we've got a whole menagerie
in the
of
first
stuff.
Page alone. We've got Doctor Strange and Namor and Hulk, and it's just like we got Red Hulk. I don't want to give it away, but there's lots going on.
It's a regular orgy of stuff, and that's Hulk number what is it?
11.
11
has giant number 11 right on the cover.
Let's hope they listen better.
And
than
that's available at your local comic book shop. Today.
All right. And lastly, I have to talk about Grant Morrison's new comic, Nemesis. Nameless. I read it wrong.
Nemesis.
Hey,
Nemesis.
Printing is your nemesis, Chris.
It really is. Yeah. I can't read so good. Nameless, number 1. Now, hey, we were talking about this before the show. We talked about Saga. And how Saga is one of these books that number 1 came out. And
it's worth money now.
It's worth a lot of money.
So the reason we were talking about this is...
Yeah.
They give me all the peon jobs at the shop, Chris.
Yeah,
and,
usually. Sweeping and stuff.
Yeah, and putting the new comics at the end of, into the new this week stuff. So this morning I was doing that because it's Wednesday. And I noticed we got a truckload of, what's that called again?
Comic books.
No, what's that one called?
Oh, Nameless.
Nameless. going, why the heck are we getting like 800 of these dumb things, right?
Yep.
And it's because of this image number one speculation boom that's been now, what, 10 years, 8 years strong?
Well,
six, 7 years strong? Since Walking Dead, really, right? It's just unbelievable the amount of guys and gals that are going to come in today and pick that book up. A couple copies maybe specking on whether Nameless takes off and becomes a hot, huge property.
Yeah. You gonna hold me 100?
I thought you said 50.
Walt, I said 100. I put those numbers in.
We'll work it out later.
Listen. So this is by now, despite the fact that this is number one and it's an image number one, this is also by Grant Morrison, who is the mastermind behind DC Comics' latest Convergence comic book storyline.
Yes.
Right? So Grant Morrison's been around for a long time.
Oh, yeah. He did that new X-Men run back in the day huge.
Yeah. He's been around for a long time. And so everybody's expecting great things from this. Who knows about movie deals and all those kind of things later on. You never know.
All right. Now, we're adding a new feature to new this week, Chris.
Oh.
We didn't tell you. We didn't send you the memo. Shecky emailed me and said, hey, let's tell Chris on air, see what he says. But
right, wish I had known.
Yeah,
but
my expectation was the same. He will not care.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're going to start. You always do really well with, you know, just highlighting some of the new this week and what you picked about three or four that are coming out this week that out of the thousands, really, that your local comic book shop are getting today.
Yep.
So head into your local comic book shop. Check out the new this week selection. I thought to add to your couple. Every week I would, because I'm an investing in comics guru.
That's true.
People from all over the world email me and say, hey, Walt, what should I invest
in? Yeah, everywhere from, you know, Chatham to Windsor.
Well, no, I got a Port Dover email yesterday, Chris.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so
bite your lip.
Pick me up one of those Arbor hot dogs on the way back there.
Those are good.
Yeah.
So I thought every week out of the new this week selection.
Yep.
I would pick one that I am going to peg as the investment of the week.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Yeah. So go into your local comic book shop, especially if you're in the Hamilton area.
Yep.
And just load up on this one.
Okay. Is it Nameless number one?
No.
You had a big stock of it?
Well, the thing with Nameless number one, I was going to go with that, but that was the easy choice because it's the new Grant Morrison image number one.
Yep.
So I go, no, I'm going to go against the curve. So I went with Star Wars number two.
Oh, now hold on. Wait, I'm gonna stop right there.
Are you gonna back it up?
Beep, 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 beep. Back it up.
Back it
Why
up.
Why in the world would anybody ever want to buy a second issue of a comic book?
Well, it's funny you ask that because nobody would.
Right.
Right. Which, in retrospect, hindsight, over time, is the reason why it might be a good investment.
Oh, now, are there some comics out there in the past that number twos are worth more than number ones?
Yeah, or? I don't know which ones they are.
But it's going to be this one, I tell you.
I'm sure it's going to be this one.
Well,
but what happens, though, is it's almost like a whiplash backlash. Backsplash type of thing. So what happens is, you remember Star Wars number one?
Yes.
Pre-sold over a million, I was going to say a billion, but that's not right.
No.
A million copies. And so I remember at our shop, I couldn't lift the boxes that we had at number ones.
Well, you're getting old now.
Yeah. Right. Well, number twos, we just got a handful.
Oh.
Right? And I'm sure most comic book shops across the continent and across the world got a handful as well.
Right.
Because
right.
number ones was the vehicle where all the variants came and all the spec and the hype came. So everybody rushes to the number ones. But what happens is if, and this is the if, right? If the Star Wars title and this run takes off.
Yeah.
And it becomes very, very popular. Number two, because of the lack of availability, really kind of relative to number one, sometimes ends up being a very kind of sought after collectible.
Book to get. Yeah.
It becomes, there's a billion number ones at the show or wherever you go. Everybody's got a number
you
one
number
on the
two,
wall.
Though?
I only ordered 10 extra of those, whatever. So sometimes, I'm saying if you're going to spec this week, because every shop has maybe 100 extra copies of Nameless number one.
Right.
They may only have 10, 15 extra copies of Star Wars.
Good
number
to know.
One.
Good to
massive
know.
Property that is Star Wars.
Yep.
The massive amount of number ones that will feed new collectors for years to come, by the way.
Yep.
Right? Because the supply is there.
Sure.
All of a sudden, not enough number twos.
Yep. Yeah.
All of a sudden, you are buying a house in like Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So.
And then reading your copy.
And reading your copy.
Yeah.
You haven't used it to buy the house, but you're just.
No.
You know.
Yeah.
And then you're hiring some schmo to bring in the 50 bins of these Star Wars number twos.
Try to figure out how to dump these things off.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the investment of the week is Star Wars number two.
I like it. All right, listen. Let's have a quick musical interlude here as we head on to industry news after the break.
Yeah, and it's only fitting that we're going into a little bit of Krantz, and it's called The Master Technician.
Oh, I like that.
Walt, you might be the master technician of modern investment.
Yes, I am.
All right, let's hear it.
That's gold there, Shecky. Thank you for spinning that. That this just keeps the juices flowing for this show.
I love it.
Beating the bongos.
I love it. All right, listen, let's start off with industry news. And do we have any sponsors for industry news?
You know we do, Chris.
All right.
This one actually came through the twit feed.
The twit there. Feed.
Yeah, it kind of came through as we were discussing it.
As all twits do.
Yeah, absolutely. So some exec sent me this one. He wants to sponsor this section. So, industry news brought to you by My Littlest Lobo, where the Joe at the corner gets a TV spot as a shrunken, down character who saves children in return for shelter.
Oh, I like that. Oh,
Littlest
Lobo.
It's kind of mixing a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I like that. All right.
Wow.
Let's dive into industry news.
That's money well spent, guy.
Yeah. Listen.
Feel free to twit us all day long, guys.
Yeah.
One of the books we did not talk about this week on our new this week, as I saved it for now, is Superman number 38.
Superman number 38.
Superman number 38.
Superman number 38.
38.
I'm pretty sure we've said it all a few times now. Superman's getting new powers.
Fight the powers!
Fight the powers that be.
So what kind of powers is he getting? Executive powers?
Wait, hold on.
Impeachment
powers? Did he
learn
these in one of your courses at the college, Chris?
That's right. He now can massage like no one else.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Listen.
The Man of Steel.
Well.
I don't want to spoil it, but Superman's getting new powers in issue number 38.
Uh-huh.
And not only does he have new powers, he has a new costume as well.
A new costume?
Yeah. So his new costume is a little, it's not all that much different from the old
Chris,
one.
Chris, I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you, it looks like his old costume.
I know. It's a little bit different. The belt is a little bit different. The boots are a little bit different.
Yeah.
The belt's a little bit different.
Yeah.
It's not, he's got these weird glovey things going on.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not entirely new.
Did
but
the last ones just get worn out or?
Perhaps.
A little faded?
Yeah.
A little sun
well, bleached, no. Superman is slave to fashion like the rest of us.
Yeah.
And he has to change with the times.
Right.
And I'm sure he had a friend come over and said, Soaps, it's all wrong.
It's all wrong. I tell
it's
you.
All wrong.
Now, okay, I bring it up because I'm wondering if they're slowly going to change the costume back to the original costume that we all know so well from the 30s. Right?
Yes.
So where he had the underwear kind of thing, the red shorts.
Well, here's the thing, Chris.
Okay, here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
To 99% of the population.
Yeah.
all Superman costumes, as long as they're red and blue, they look the same.
It's true.
It's the comic book Superman fanatics
right.
that will notice these small little detail changes.
You're
don't
right.
you think though? If you showed your wife that, you know, Superman costume, oh, that's Superman. Like she would not say, oh, look at the gloves are longer.
Right. I don't know if she'd say that if Chris were wearing it.
Would she or has she?
Oh, hey ho.
Listen, you're absolutely right. I mean, let's not forget, it still has the iconic S.
Test some water, Marty. I got to wash that one out.
He still has the iconic S on his chest. Mm-hmm. He still has a red cape. He's still pretty much dressed in blue and red.
Yeah.
He's still pretty much Superman. However, mm-hmm. to the iconic nerds out there, he has changed his costume.
Yeah. Right. Well, he's not showing enough skin, if you ask me.
And he does get new powers. I don't want to tell you about what the new powers are, but in this week's issue that came out today, issue number Superman number 38, he has a new power, and even Batman is involved in discovering things.
Right on. All right, awesome. That's the Superman number. We're done that part of the show.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's cool. I mean, I'm excited to see what the new powers of Superman are, because I have not read the new powers of Superman. I did not read that article.
No, well, yeah,
so don't tell me. Don't spoil it for me. I'm just waiting with bated breath.
Okay. Now, speaking of DC, I'm going to go to your second page there on our list of topics here.
Page.
We didn't have a mailbag, but you know what? This is kind of like a mailbag.
Okay.
I want to talk to you about this.
This
is near and dear to my heart.
Yo, Chris, talk to me.
Talk to me, man.
Bag us.
Okay, so this 11-year-old girl writes a letter to DC.
So wait a minute. Go ahead.
Okay, so this little girl,
yeah.
is 11 years old.
I'm following you.
She writes to DC.
I'm
going to read you what her letter said, okay?
Okay, what this girl wrote to DC.
That's right. She said, "Dear DC Comics, my name is Rowan and I'm 11 years old. I love superheroes and have been reading comics and watching superhero cartoons and movies since I was very young."
I like when 11-year-olds say, "I've been doing it since I was very young."
I know. I'm a girl, and I'm upset because there aren't many girl superheroes or movies and comics from DC. For my birthday, I got some of your Justice League Chiblis. Chibas.
She got some Chibas.
Little toys.
It sounds like some sort of smokable tobacco product, really.
I thought it was a blended scotch.
It's you've seen them before. They're like little shrunken down kind of toy characters.
Let's go with that.
I noticed in the little pamphlet that there are only two girl chibis and 10 boys. Also, the background for the girl figures was all pink and purple. I remember watching Justice League cartoons when I was really young with my dad, and there are Superman and Batman movies, but not a Wonder Woman one. You have a Flash TV show, but not a Wonder Woman one. Marvel Comics made a movie about a talking tree and raccoon, awesome, but you haven't made a movie with Wonder Woman. I would really like a Hot Girl or Catwoman or the girls of the Young Justice TV show action figures, please. I love your comics, but I would love them a whole lot more if there are more girls. I asked a lot of people I know whether they watched movies or read books or comics where girls were the main characters, and all they said, yes. Please do something about this. Girls read comics too, and they care. Sincerely, Rowan.
Nice.
Awesome.
Okay.
Awesome. Okay.
I got a few things to say about that. Oh. I'd like to say something about that.
Is the first thing, why is this so close to your heart, Chris? Is your screen name Rowan?
No, okay. If it was talking anywhere about Power Girl, then you would know it was me.
First of all, above and beyond the fact that, you know, mom or dad spell checked this, and
they didn't. You know, it was a handwritten note. It wasn't typed.
Oh yeah.
I put it on here so that it would be easier for us to read. But it was actually all handwritten on foolscap. You know, with like
nice
kind of thing.
Okay.
Like it was a classroom project sort of thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I mean, what's her name?
Rowan.
Rowan. Rowan, Rowan, Rowan.
Rowan the Accuser.
Tell me about it. She has nothing to fear, though, because that's where the comic industry is heading. The comic industry is heading to where she wants it to head.
Right, but she wants it there now.
Well, hey, I want a lot of things now.
Okay, but hold
hey,
on.
Hey, Rowan,
hold
no on. Time you grew up, you 11-year-old spoiled brat. Jesus.
Okay, anyway. Hold on. She makes a good point here.
What?
She makes a good point.
Yeah, she wants everything now?
Okay, you know what? I don't like your attitude.
Okay, all right? Fine.
Yeah. She's 11 years old.
Yeah, but my point is
why didn't we have a Wonder Woman movie
you didn't,
10 years ago?
Well, we had a TV show, if you don't recall.
You know, Brantford wasn't built in a day. Okay?
It's not built now.
Okay. My point is this.
No, that was the point.
My point is this. Okay, things take time, but things are moving in the right direction.
Okay.
Rowan is 11. Okay,
How many
11.
Batman movies have been? Yeah. Have there been?
Hey, listen. When I was 11, you know what I really wanted above everything else?
To come to the new country?
No, I was already here.
Oh, sorry.
But why aren't there any Serbian superheroes? And you know what? I'm now close to 50.
Is there such a thing?
No.
Yeah, sure there is. Have superheroes?
You know what? You've got
but my point
Tesla.
Is this.
Let it
my
go.
Point is, yeah, we got Tesla.
Yeah.
But, and maybe Novak, but I'm not into tennis. So, anyway, you know, I've waited like 72 years already, and I haven't got my wish. She's getting her wish.
You
she's
did,
moving in the
did,
right direction. And she's all of a sudden impatient because it's not coming by her 12th birthday. Excuse me.
First of all, did you ever once write to DC asking for more Serbian comics?
Yeah, but when I was a kid, I don't think
you know
they,
what? You didn't do these things.
You know, when I was a kid, I don't think they understood Cyrillic, first of all.
No.
Because that was my first mistake. oh, what the heck is this? What's this guy?
Wait, hold on.
What is this? Is this like a hostage note? What is it?
When you were a kid, didn't they have cryptographers everywhere? It's the Cold War.
What did they age?
Yeah, you're writing,
I don't know.
You're writing letters in Cyrillic and it's the Cold
My
War.
My mom goes, what are you doing? Don't worry, Mom.
Okay.
They'll be a Serbian superhero.
I'm not telling them where the subs are. Don't worry.
Yeah, don't worry, Mom. Got it all covered. But my point is this.
It gets 300 hectares to a single tank of kerosene.
Oh, you know my mom. My mom's the best. She's the greatest. So you know, you watch cartoons. My kids go over to Grandma's house and watch cartoons. And no matter what cartoon is on, my mom, who's like 81, she'll walk into the living room and she'll look at the kids. Oh, Scooby Dooby! she thinks it's all Scooby Doo.
Why isn't this good? This kid is writing.
No, it's great. The kid is writing.
Okay.
It's just that the kid's got to learn a little patience and learn that the world. No, hey, excuse me, Rohan. But the world, Rowan, the world doesn't revolve around young little 11-year-old Rowan.
Maybe they should.
No, maybe it shouldn't. Maybe the world shouldn't revolve around an 11-year-old girl.
No, hold on. If anything, it's endearing because she's she's saying what a lot of girls are thinking, but she's unaware that I feel like the plans are in motion. Like you got the Wonder Woman, you got the Justice League film. She will be satisfied when this all happens.
Okay, hold on.
She'll never be satisfied. Okay?
Yeah, you know what? If I know young women, they will not be. No.
don't. First of all, don't say that.
Okay.
Second of all, why? Okay, you know what? We had, there was the femme fatale boom of comic book characters in the 90s. Right, Lady Death and Kabuki and all
she
and whatever.
Yeah.
Why didn't something
I made that one up
better come out from
it
all
sounded
that?
Legit to me.
Why didn't better comic book characters and why wasn't there more female comic book characters and movies and TV shows coming
because
out
Chris because the medium hadn't arrived yet at legitimate female readership which you're a witch girl, and we've arrived there though. Now we've arrived where female readership is increasing.
It was there in the '70s,
huh?
Wonder Woman was around in the '70s.
Yeah, but guys were reading it, Chris. That's the part you're missing. Guys were reading it. Wonder Woman was written for boys.
Linda Carter and the TV show I'm talking about.
Yeah, how many girls? I don't want to even say it, but how many girls went to bed at night thinking about Linda Carter as Wonder Woman?
As opposed to guys?
Guys, right, exactly.
Hey, you know what?
See what I'm saying?
Okay.
In her satin tights, fighting for your rights.
I've brought this up.
You know what I'm saying?
Now,
is that line written for girls? In your satin tights, fighting for
our
rights?
Maybe it is.
I don't think so.
Why not? Why can't women be sexual and be powerful at the same time?
Listen, if I'm trying to sell you a male superhero, yes, as a boy,
yes,
I'm not going to go in your bulging tights fighting for your rights. It doesn't work.
Oh. Maybe it should.
Okay, then, that's here. Different.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, though. Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
What
so
you're saying.
So now we've got to the point where we're, it's awesome, where we're getting the other half of the population to buy into comic books, and now the properties and the companies and the publishers, and they're all coming online, and we're going to produce some great, great content, female superheroes, done the way they should be done.
It's too little, too late.
This should
be doing 10 years
hold
ago.
On. No. Hold on.
No.
Hold on.
Rowan wasn't
hold
even
on.
Born 10 years ago. She's 11.
I brought this up a year ago or more, okay? This happened before.
Okay, I did the math wrong there.
Yeah, yeah, we don't. Yeah, right. We don't listen to you anyway. Don't worry, no one else does. We
already Serbian math.
Tesla would have got it right.
In Serbia, cars drive you. No, okay. Listen, all right. We've been over this a little bit before. This has been tested waters. Just because a guy wants to ogle a side character in a movie, like
what's the what?
Oh, Uma Thurman in the Batmans with the poison ivy. This was the 90s when it was in its heyday, right? Like, that was good. That was good, right? But the Elektra, the Catwoman, put two of the most gorgeous women on the planet in the leading role in their own female films,
mm-hmm,
8 years ago, six years ago. They flopped. They were terrible.
Because
guys don't want to see these girls. And because you're saying it's a guy nation. Oh, well, it's because it's all about the guys. They don't want to see the lead role. They just want to see her on the side showing a little skin. You know?
No, but no, no, but this is where you're missing it. Oh, producer extraordinaire.
Uh huh.
Yes. The what were the two characters of the movies?
Catwoman,
and
Elektra.
Elektra. Yeah, they were made for a male audience.
Yeah.
Okay. This is exactly my point. We have come to an age in comic books where female characters are written for a female audience.
You know what's
and
happen?
A receptive female audience. A receptive young Regan here. What's her name?
Rowan.
Rowan. Young Rowan there. She wants female content, and she wants it done right. She wants to enjoy.
Sure.
She wants to be empowered,
sure,
by her favorite superheroine.
Right.
Right? Which is great. And that's where the industry is heading. That's where the industry's future is, really.
Okay.
The future growth,
yes,
is, really.
So you'll get it. But at the same time, you can't do, you know, Halle Berry doing Sex in the City where half the movie just her shopping,
okay,
for new clothes.
Okay, hold on a second.
Yeah, but that was done for guys.
I know, but I'm saying that there is a happy medium, and it's coming, and it's because they're finding out,
okay,
this new market.
Okay, but listen, hold on a second here. Hold on, okay. Let's just go.
All right, let's let Owen moderate here.
I want to.
I'm about to hit him.
Who, me or him?
Him.
Okay.
Then you.
Listen, you know, I follow trends in comic books. And
I can tell that by your clothes.
Conventions and cosplay and all that stuff. And I was reading about some cosplayers and how they get offended because they think that, you know, just because they dress scantily clad, they should be ogled and sexualized, right? And
right.
I think that their argument is, just because I have big boobs doesn't mean that I should be sexualized.
Right.
Because there is a portion of the population out there that has big boobs.
Yes.
Right? So why?
Thank goodness.
Right? Okay, but hold on. And there's a portion that has, you know, smaller boobs.
Thank goodness.
And they're all women. They're all gorgeous. They're all good looking.
There are guys with big boobs, by the way. don't say they're all women.
There really are. So people say, well, you know, it doesn't mean that there is a faction of comic book fans out there. They want to have a wide variety of all different types of comic book characters. They want to have, you know, the small boobs, the big boobs. They want to have everything.
The medium boobs. Right.
The man boobs. Right? So there's a bit of everything out there, and I think you're right. It's getting to the point now where it's not just about, you know, the sexualization, but it's actually strong characters.
Okay. Really quickly, I got an email from a young lady who was writing an essay for a college. Okay. And I can tell that she was on a certain mind path and what she wanted to write about was the female exploitation in comics, right? And she started off with, you know, with some baited questions, and I could tell where she was going with the questions about how impossible figures and are made with girls. And kind of what I immediately said is, no, you got it wrong. Comics are not about sexualizing females.
No.
Comics are about the the exaggeration of both gender characteristics.
Perfect.
So,
perfect forms.
So no guy looks like Superman.
No, exactly.
No guy looks like even Batman.
Exactly.
You know what is considered kind of masculine?
Yeah.
You know, big biceps, wide shoulders, thin waist, V-shaped top.
Strong jawline.
Yeah, strong jawline. Yep. Look at the big heroes. They're all drawn like that. You know, like a 14-year-old boy reading that, he's going to feel inadequate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay?
Yep.
So it's not just the women. Yep. Oh, how can I ever look like, you know, Wonder Woman? She's perfect.
You're right.
It's not, you know, that's what they're missing. We're exaggerating both genders.
Yeah, and
I would completely agree with that.
Very quickly, listen, we're going to end this topic, but very quickly, there's a documentary out there called The Man Whose Arms Exploded, and it's about a guy that took steroids until his biceps were so big, they basically exploded. And there's a doctor on there that talks about how there's something called, you know, obviously everybody knows about anorexia. There's something that he coined called bigorexia, and it's when guys look at themselves in the mirror and realize they're not big enough.
Right.
And if you look at G.I. Joe figures and Star Wars figures from the 1970s and look at them now, they're like completely hulkified. Yeah.
Right.
They're much bigger. So the modern perception of men are supposed to be that we're supposed to be, you know, a lot bigger and stronger and things like that. So there's no difference when it comes to men and women in the actual
In terms of interpretation of comics, we are sexually exploiting both genders in comics.
Exactly.
But the positive trend, though, is the storytelling.
Yeah.
The you know, what young Megan there wants is it's coming her way.
It's coming. All right, listen, we need to have a break from this conversation. We need to have a musical interlude.
Absolutely, that was quite the epic discussion.
Yeah, I wasn't planning on going that far with that, but it's a good thing we did. We aired some grievances there.
No
grievances.
Listen, all right, what do you got for us there?
I got a little epic music for you.
All right, let's hear it.
That was good. Don't tell me. That was from.
I'll let you toil.
Rocket Robin Hood.
Oh, I like that, but no.
No?
No. I'm going to guess Thunder the Barbarian.
No, but more on the right path. Hercules Legendary Journeys. Main theme.
No, interesting.
Huh,
interesting.
Yeah.
Good. All right, listen. We're gonna continue on.
Great pick, though.
Do you have a sponsor for us? I have. The next bit is gonna be. I'm gonna quiz.
Stump the chump.
We know who the chump is.
We all know who the chump is.
Stump the chump.
Yeah, we got a quick little sponsor here. You know, again on the twits. You know, so industry news part two brought to you by. Little Rwanda there, 11-year-old Rwanda, says that when her Wonder Woman figures come out, they have to have adequate butt sizes.
All right, listen. Walt, last week I started this new trend of asking you questions every week, and I'm going to continue on today. Hopefully you do a little bit better than you did last week.
Well, I got 5 out of 5.
Close. I got 0 out of 5, but you know that's all right.
But you may have put up 5 or 25 answers, but none.
I'm going to start off today's question.
Why don't you start off
with a really easy one for you?
All right.
I know this one's near and dear to your heart, mm-hmm. but I want to get your your ego
the
built
juice
up
is
a bit.
Flowing.
My ego built up, right?
Ego built
right.
up.
Yeah.
What famous superhero's line is "Sweet Christmas"?
Sweet Christmas.
Yeah.
That is easy.
Yeah.
Okay, that is the Green Lantern.
You're so wrong.
Santa Claus.
Come on.
Santa Claus.
You know what this is.
Santa Claus.
No, you know what this is.
Okay.
Come on. Be serious.
Wolverine. Serious. I am Wolverine. I mean, I'm serious.
I,
no, don't
I
tell me.
I want to
don't tell me.
Forth,
okay.
An
last guess. Kay. Last guess. Sweet Christmas.
Sweet Christmas.
It's Punisher.
No.
Is it? Jeez. Is it Robin?
No.
Oh, don't
man, this is hard.
Do you really not know this?
I swear I don't know. I swear. I'm looking at you. I don't know this. Sweet Christmas. Can you give me a hint?
He's one of your... You used to own pages of his comic book.
Oh, Luke Cage.
There you go. But see, that, I was hoping... You ruined my bit because I said what famous superhero...
You ruined my bit.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
I said what famous superhero, and then you were supposed to say Luke Cage, and then I was going to say, trick question, Luke Cage has never been famous.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Sorry, Chris.
That's all right.
Yeah. Probably a good thing I ruined that one.
The first time you disappointed me.
Mm.
All right. Listen. Okay. Here's the second. I thought this would get harder for me.
I think
there,
we should just call it here. This is
yeah.
call
really
it a night.
Yeah. All right. Listen. Okay. You know what? Here's. You might know this one.
Here's the thing.
Here's the thing. You might know this one better than the first one.
Yeah. I might not, though.
What is Groot? Groot from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
What is Groot's first appearance?
What is his first appearance?
First appearance.
That is Tales to Astonish number 13.
See? Very good. See, yeah. I knew you'd know
oh,
that. Hey-oh. You got one.
Hey-oh.
And that came out in 1960.
Yeah, that would be about right.
Okay.
Because Tales to Astonish number 1 came out in 1959.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Now
monthly title.
This is a little bit harder. A little bit harder. Another first appearance type question, but you might not get this one.
Mm-hmm.
When did the Fortress of Solitude first appear?
Oh, wow. I think that was the first time Superman got drunk, to tell you the truth.
had to go back, stumble back.
Well, whoa. When did that is a great question.
Yeah, well, you know, some good ones.
Because, did you know, I mean, I'm buying time here.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You guys will tell. But, like, for example, I think it was Action Comics number 126 or something. It was 10 years after they introduced Superman that he first flew in a comic.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, because originally he jumped.
He leaped tall buildings in a single bound.
Yeah.
So it took him 10 years for them to kind of, because you know what, now, you know, kids, Superman flies, right?
Yeah,
but
that's right.
For the first decade of his existence, he didn't fly. I mean, this isn't helping me at all because I can't come up with the Fourth of Solitude. I got it.
Okay, what
it.
Is it?
It is Action Comics.
No, but that's okay.
Okay, it's Superman Comics.
Yeah, yeah.
See, and it's number 54, 57.
Eight. 58. Yes. Oh, good call.
Superman number 58.
Yeah, Superman number 58. Okay, so the first appearance, so in Superman number 17, it was called The Secret Citadel.
Uh-huh.
And then by issue number 58, it was called The Fortress of Solitude. And then it just kind of disappeared for a while. And then in 1958, it returned where it had the storyline, The Super Key to Fort Superman.
I remember that cover. Remember that cover?
And that's Action Comics 251.
Yeah, remember that cover?
241.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, great cover. With giant key.
Yeah, it was cool.
All right.
I did not know that, Chris. So what was it again? What was the final answer? Final answer.
Superman number 58, first appearance.
Superman number 58, first appearance.
So you know what? That should go in some sort of like, you know.
Undervalued spotlight. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
All right. I'm on a roll here, Checky.
Yeah,
Checky, I'm on a roll.
You want to also write the article for him, too? He'd really appreciate that.
Yeah, I should be an Overstreet advisor.
You should be.
Yeah. You're advising something.
Mm-hmm.
Next question. Okay, I've got two more questions. The first one's going to be a little bit hard. Second one you should get right away. Okay?
First one will be a little bit hard.
Okay. Well. Why did
Of course, you gotta phrase it correctly. How am I going to get it?
Okay, why?
Right. Why?
Why did Marvel's Contest of Champions comic first appear?
Why did Marvel's Contest of Champions?
So in 1982, Marvel had a limited series of three issues called Marvel Comics Contest of Champions.
Right.
And it had a whole bunch of their famous characters kind of being fighting against each other.
Uh-huh.
Why did that comic appear?
Because I haven't got a clue. Okay. Tell you the truth. Hold on. Don't let me give you one guess. Well, you're awfully quick to judge me. Aren't you?
Well, you said you don't have a clue.
But that was like a minute ago.
Like 10 seconds. But it might have come to me since then.
Okay.
All right.
Because it was a slow news week.
Okay.
And they figured that doing that would increase sales.
What? You know, it's tough to get good help around
here. Oh, okay, man. You know what? I'm hoping Overstreet doesn't listen to this because they might take my advisorship away.
Revoke your status. Right, listen,
I haven't got a clue.
Okay, so back during the Cold War in the early 1980s, Marvel Comics was producing Treasury Editions. Okay, you know those giant...
Sure do, yeah.
They were going to produce one. However, the United States pulled out of the Moscow Olympics.
1980.
Yeah. So, basically, Marvel took that comic that they were going to produce as a Treasury Edition, held on to it for a couple of years, and decided to chop it up into three issues and make it Marvel Contest
Champions. That is fantastic. I did not know that.
And in 1982, they released it, and it was meant to be a Treasury sort of
Olympic edition for 1980 Moscow Olympics.
Exactly.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah.
That is fascinating. That's awesome.
Yep. See, look at that. I actually taught you something about comics.
Wow, that is great.
You are a professor, after all.
Well, I am. That's true. All right. And finally, my final question.
Put me out of my misery here, please. Come on.
You should get this one. What is the most expensive comic book ever sold to date?
Well, that is Action Comics number one.
Okay. And how much did it sell?
It sold for $3,161,000.
Correct.
Or something like that. And that was in late 2014. And I believe that was the old Nicolas Cage copy.
Right.
Right. Correct. The 9.0 out of 10.
Yes.
Now, did you know, Chris,
Probably not.
That
now you're turning it back on.
Yeah.
No, the most... famous collection ever discovered in comic books. The Pedigree of Pedigree.
Comics.
Yeah, Mile High Comics, which just like absolutely stunning grades on everything.
Yep.
The Action Comics number 1 to 10 was apparently sold to some guy. I believe it was in the Carolinas.
Okay.
And as of this post, as of this show that we're doing right now, it has not been graded yet.
Oh.
So the Mile High copy of Action 1 has not been graded yet.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Now, the funny thing with Mile High is there, I mean, 90% of the books are all high grade. But you know, like when you store comic books, every now and then you'll get that one little dog ear or the rip or whatever.
Yeah.
So we don't know exactly whether the Action 1 is like 90% of the Mile High, which would be like a 9.496, or whether just by chance it got a rip or a tear. It got an 8.5 or something like that.
It's number one in a run, so it might be at the very front. So that was the one that curled around.
Yeah, you don't know, right? Yeah, you don't know, but the odds are that it, you know, if it ever got graded and it was a 9.2 or something like that, then it's the Mile High. It's a 9.2 or a 9.4. It's the best known copy of the greatest comic ever produced.
Yep.
You know, you could pretty well just say, "Hey, I want $10 million for this," and people will pay it. Yep. Right?
Yep. Rest assured, it'll be the best that's ever found.
All
right.
You know what? That's our edition for Stump the Chomp. Let's have a quick musical interlude before we go on to the rest of industry news. Marty, what do you got set up for us?
We'll be back in a flash.
All right. Like it.
Blasting off on a desperate mission to save Earth from the evil plottings of the tyrannical space lord Ming the Merciless. Dr. Hans Zarkov and Dale Arden have joined me, Flash Gordon, on a fantastic journey into worlds where peril and adventure await us.
What the heck was that?
Flash Gordon, the TV show by Filmation back
then.
Flash! Savior of the universe!
That was Queen, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
All right, listen, we don't have a whole lot of time left, but I want to talk about a couple things here. Archie Comics. Now,
Archie.
Now, okay, hold on a second.
Hey.
Archie Comics.
Yeah.
Now, it's funny. You know, it's a funny thing, because here's the thing.
It's a funny thing.
Here's the thing.
Yeah. Archie Comics, you think of Archie being the, you know, the mainstay, the perpetual kid.
Yeah.
It's always going to be the same thing
for
the last 8,000 years.
Forever.
Yeah.
The teenager for the last.
And he's Bart Simpson before there was Bart Simpson.
And yet, Archie Comics is pushing the boundaries, pushing the envelope almost more so than the other mainstream.
Always have
two,
been. Always
right?
have been.
And all of a sudden now they're doing it again. So Archie Comics, let's
do it again.
Let's just recap. So Archie Comics.
Let's recap.
They had the Kevin Keller.
Kevin Keller
was the first
the gay guy.
Openly gay comic book. They made a huge comic book about it.
KK.
And not only, they call him. Not only, yeah.
Over at the bar.
Not only did they just, but it was like open and they made a great big, storyline about it.
Yes, they did.
So now all of a sudden they've got Archie has the Black Hood. Now Archie's gone back and they're starting to do more than just their regular Archie type comics.
Mm-hmm.
Archie has their Dark Circle comics,
uh-huh.
which, back in the day they used to have an offshoot of their, their superhero comics and their horror comics. Now they have the Black Hood.
They're going to have transgender Archie? Marchie?
No, I just had a picture of Dark Circle Owen there after one of his drinking binges. See you the next day. Chris, what the hell happened to you? I don't ask.
Good old Marchie.
Okay, go.
Listen. And so all of a sudden, Archie is using the F word many times in their first comic book, which is The Black Hood.
So wow.
They're using the F word, throwing the F bomb around all over the place.
Like the F bomb? Like the real F bomb? Like F-bomb. not flipping?
No.
No.
No, I'm talking.
Not frig?
Nope.
Not Fraggle Rock?
No, it's the
what is it, Chris? Line. Say it.
I can't say it. No. I can't say it
is
on the air.
Is it because of women?
No.
No.
Is it Betty doing something she shouldn't be doing?
No.
It's used in every possible adjective, noun, adverb kind of way you could possibly use it. It's used multiple times in an Archie comic, and it's unprecedented for Archie comics.
Wow. Does the word bihotch appear in anywhere after that?
It might.
Wow. So I
mentioned that.
Okay, hold on. I'm trying. No. So Archie is sold at the supermarket checkout and those digests and Archie.
Okay, but
hold on.
So that's
not going there.
No, this is the Black Hood comics.
Uh-huh.
This is the Dark Circle imprint.
Okay,
it's just an adult type thing.
Just for stores.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was worried about that.
No.
All right,
listen. And the last thing I want to talk to you very quickly about, you mentioned Star Wars earlier today. You mentioned issue number two. How many different covers did you think were coming out for Star Wars number one?
Number one? I think there was 14 or 15, I think.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So according to Bleeding Cool.
Yeah, they're a reputable one.
68 different variant covers came out for Star Wars number one.
68.
Wow.
68.
Wow.
And they Darth Vader number one's coming out soon, and they're going to have 17 different covers for Darth Vader number one.
Wow, 17 different covers.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there's another one that you can
I think the Star Wars one's probably counting the stores that participated in store variant.
Yeah. So you can order it and
Special.
So if you were to think about that, there's like 14 or so covers, including the normal
ones. So 50-ish stores across the world did their own variant cover.
Wow. 50, maybe even more than that.
Right.
Well, I'm just saying, if there's 68, you kind of do.
Yeah, true.
Who knows, right? About 50, 55, whatever.
Yeah.
Well.
Wow. So, and Darth Vader. Now, I don't have the list in front of me of all the titles and characters that are coming out for Star Wars.
Yes.
But,
Darth Vader, obviously, is going to be Darth Vader, and then there's Princess Leia one.
Princess Leia.
And Star Wars. Those are the ones that are for sure confirmed.
Hey, Megan, you hear that? Princess Leia's coming out with her own title, so relax.
Her name is Rowan.
Rowan?
Rowan.
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 That was who did that? Frank Miller. That was
Ronin.
Ronin?
Yeah.
That's not her name.
No.
Okay, why don't we just end this?
All right, listen. You know what? We're out of time anyways. Might as well just end it. You know.
All right, listen. I got to tell everybody that Comic Culture was produced by Shecky Feldstein. It was engineered by Chris Owen. And we're always on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. And why don't you go out and support your local comic book shop?
And please go out and have yourself a great day. And remember to listen to 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, and iTunes, and Get the Point Radio. And hopefully we'll see you soon.